Hello, everyone. This is the Legacy Call, which means that you've been a member of No BS for over a year. Anybody can attend the call, but only the Legacy members get to get coached. So I'm going to promote Coach Lizzie. She will be in the chat. She will also be in the Q&A. And then if anyone wants to get coaching, you just raise your hand. It's like Paula Faust is the first one. We'll get it going. If you're on the last call, I just sucked down my breakfast. I didn't get a chance to eat before the last call. And I had my famous and cheese with cottage cheese. All right, Paula, what are we coaching on today?
How are you?
Good.
Oh, good. Well, I talked to my accountability group with this, and I haven't talked to my coach, Kathy, yet. But I have a situation where I'm trying to figure out the sweet spot, I guess, between enough and finished. And let me give you an illustration. The other night went out with the husband to my favorite thing to go out to eat, hamburgers. So we went out to a hamburger place and we got hamburgers and onion rings. I ate like three or four onion rings. And then I ate maybe a third of my hamburger and I was at enough. I was done. So packed it up to bring home. And then we made another stop on the way home. And the first thing going through my head was, well, I still have some dinner left.
Mm-hmm.
There's still dinner left that I had allotted myself to eat. So it's like on the way home from our second stop, I had a couple more bites. And we got home. I put the leftovers in the fridge. But then maybe.
But you were still at enough? You were just having chatter?
Yeah. Yeah. And
oh, so you don't, it's not a problem that you don't know the difference between enough and finished.
Okay. Because
you knew when you had enough.
I did. At the restaurant, I had enough. And then.
But you also told me that when you had a few more bites, you were still at enough.
I was. But what goes through my head is, but that was my dinner. And I still can eat it.
But that's not you not knowing what enough is. That's you saying, I choose to overeat instead of staying at enough.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, so technically, Paula, I could plan to order a pizza, a large pizza.
Okay.
Where should I stop eating?
When you hit enough.
Right. But on my plan, what was on my plan?
Pizza.
Right. But you had a burger and onion rings on your plan. You stopped enough, but at some point you were just like, but it's on my plan and there's some left over. Then what happened? Your next thought was?
My next thought was, the thought I have is it's still my dinner, so I can still have some.
No, you can't.
I know.
It's in that moment when you're telling yourself, that's like, oh yeah, that's wrong. I already had dinner and I had enough. Just because it's sitting. Let me ask you this. Do you have other food in the house or do you only have the food that like for the one meal and then the house is barren?
Tons of food in the house.
Right. Do you ever think like, well, there's tons of food in the house. I better get to eating. I mean, it's in there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. I get that. Okay. So I think what I need to do is one of two things, either leave the food at the restaurant and that's okay. And I've done that a million times or bring it home. And I got to have the thought in my head that I'll plan this for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which would be,
and
which
then
would
when
be
your
really
brain
nice.
Wants to say your dinner is sitting in there, what is the thought going to be when your brain is saying, but my dinner is still sitting in there?
You're done with dinner because you've had enough.
Right. That's not my dinner.
Not, like okay.
That is no longer your dinner. You already had dinner. Like, oh, wait, that's not dinner anymore. That's leftovers. That's not dinner.
That's a good one. That's a good. I have one more follow-up to that.
Okay.
I was talking with my accountability group and sometimes when, like, if I do a dinner out, I'll stop it enough, but like 1.5 to 2 hours later, I'm hungry. And I'm thinking, damn, I didn't eat enough at dinner. And so what my accountability group was saying is, maybe when you hit enough at dinner, maybe have one extra bite.
How do you know, tell me how you know you're hungry.
Oh, my stomach growls. I'm not one of those people that doesn't have a stomach signal. I get a stomach signal when I'm hungry. And sometimes I will drink water and stuff, but most of the time the water doesn't take it away. So I know I'm hungry.
Okay.
Then I'm pretty good at that.
Then what do you do?
Most of the time it's right near one of my meals. So then I'll have breakfast, I'll have lunch, I'll have dinner. I do pretty good. Every once in a while, it'll hit me at 3 or something, and then I'll have my planned snack.
What is the problem here? I don't understand what the problem would be.
I guess my problem is that, especially if we go out to eat, I hit the sigh, right? And I kind of know I'm at enough, but then it's like an hour and a half to 2 hours later, I'm still hungry.
Does this always happen or sometimes?
Just sometimes. It does not always happen. I guess I'm just trying to figure out.
Is it only when you go out to eat or is it other meals?
Mostly when I go out to eat.
Okay. I don't think you're hungry.
Okay.
I think you think you're hungry.
Because my dinner is in the fridge.
Yeah. Let me just ask you, does this thing that happens where it's like an hour and a half to 2 hours later, I'm hungry again, does it almost always coincide with having leftovers in from eating out?
Frequently.
Okay. You're not hungry.
Frequently it does.
I will bet you you're not hungry. Otherwise you would be having the same thing with just eating your regular dinner.
Okay. Okay.
I think you're just tempted. And I think you want to eat that food because you think that it was on your plan. You probably have thoughts of, well, I ate to enough, but I'd like to have more. There's probably something happening underneath there about that food. And then sometimes when you think enough about food, you can get a stomach growl. Oh. It's psychosomatic.
Okay.
Do you know what psychosomatic is?
No, that's a really fancy word.
Okay. It's basically where if you let's pretend that me, you, and your accountability group, we all go on a beach vacation.
Okay.
And day one, I wake up and I'm just like, oh, I feel like shit. I'm just going to tell all of you, I think I'm coming down with something. I just know it. I can just feel it. I'm coming down with something. And all day long, all I do is I'm on hyper alert and I'm just complaining oh, I got a headache now. Something's happening. What do you think everybody else would happen?
They would be possibly, they'd be looking at you like you're looking for something. Maybe they're really, maybe you really don't feel bad, but you're looking for something and you're kind of ruining our time.
Yeah, this is usually what would happen. If you're with a group of people and one person starts saying they're sick, and we did this for a day or two, guess what everybody's going to feel like? They're getting
sick.
Yeah, because everybody now is looking for a reason to be sick.
Okay.
And then I could have been lying the whole time. I could have just been like, I'm going to ruin everybody's vacation. I'm going to complain like I'm sick. It's just like when one woman gets her period, suddenly. Yeah. Half the other women are cranky. They're not even on their period. They're just having cranky pain with the period chick.
Yeah.
I think what's happening is because your pattern is very specific to dining out foods. You're not telling me when I eat dinner at home, if we just have a healthy meal, I'm not sitting there thinking about going into the kitchen an hour and a half or 2 hours later because I'm really hungry and needing to eat.
True.
Let me ask you, if you had went out to eat and you had brought home half a chicken breast, and some steamed broccoli.
Oh, that shit would have sat in the fridge.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't be sitting there thinking, my dinner's in there. You'd just be like, well, yeah. I don't really want that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even be thinking about it. And I think that's the only thing that's happening. So you just need to be more mindful that when you go out to eat and you bring home leftovers, mm-hmm. that you're going to want to eat them, that you may mm-hmm. even get a stomach growl because you've psychosomatic just means you've ginned it up in your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if I sit like literally, if I sit around long enough and think about food, I can get hungry. If I don't interrupt the pattern, eventually my body's gonna be like, well, she must be getting hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe for a while, what might be a good practice is maybe just leave the leftovers at the restaurant. Because I'm okay. I'm okay. You have made me okay with throwing away food.
If I'm fine with you, then I would just do that just to make it easier. Or you can just say like, I'm going to bring it home and I'm going to learn that I do not finish it. That if I'm legit hungry, mm-hmm. I don't eat the leftovers. If I'm legit mm-hmm. hungry, an apple will do.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Okay. All right. I think
you. For all of you, this is not because hamburgers and onion rings are bad. The reason why I'm having her do this is because she's talking herself into, I think, just eating more of the food that she really enjoys, even though she didn't realize she's already enjoyed it.
Yes. Yeah. That's true.
Just whichever way you'd rather do it. You can either leave it at the restaurant. You could bring it home and just practice not having it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And allowing yourself. And if you, after a few tries, if you're just like, oh, that's harder than I want to work on this, then don't bring it home. There, I will tell all of you, there is no shame in the game of just making things easier. For instance, I was actually talking to Jane this morning on Marco Polo, and I was trying to decide about going to the bar tonight. Because we really want to go to see how our restaurant handles a really busy sports night since we're a sports bar. But I would love to just stay home and do nothing. Like, I want to like get out of this dress. I just want to go lay in the bed and I would rather watch the football game that way. But like, I have a competing priority. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's kind of important to see how they perform under stress. You know, we should do that. And I was telling her, I was like, one of the main reasons I don't want to go tonight is because I don't feel like drinking. I don't feel like socializing and stuff. And if I go, I am going to be tired. And I know my brain is going to be wanting to have drinks. Now, I can go and not drink. And I totally know that. But I also know, I don't know if I, like after a day of calls, I'm not sure I want to go and have to negotiate with myself and have to work through urges and stuff. Sometimes it's just easier to just remove the urge. And it's not because we can't handle them or that we're weak or whatever. It's just like, sometimes I just know, like, I just don't want to work that hard today. And I'm good with that. I'm going to set myself up for some ease. So I'm going to have to decide when we get done with all these calls, am I going to go there and be willing to be okay? Because I know I don't want to drink tonight and mm-hmm. just be okay with not drinking and maybe wanting to. And then 1,000 people coming up to Chris and I to talk about stuff like, or do I want to stay home and pay the price there of wondering all night long, how's the restaurant doing?
Yeah.
So it's okay if you want to bring the food home. It's okay if you don't want to bring the food home. We're just trying to do this in a way that just makes it easier for Paula. And whatever you think makes it easier for you, let's just do it that way. Because the one thing you don't have a problem with is knowing when you're enough and finished.
That's true. That's definitely true. I've worked really hard on that.
Yeah, you already know that. You already know you've had enough. You're mm-hmm. just now tempted to eat more only because you think that meal is dinner instead of dinner is done. This is just leftovers.
Right. Oh, thank you. Thank you. This has been really helpful. I think combining what you've said and what my AG has said and what Coach Kathy has said, I think I can get on top of this.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Corinne.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, shit.
Jean, here's the reason why I don't want to leave at halftime, because I really want to see Usher. So, there's that. I love football. Y'all, I am not. Like, I'm not a Swiftie, number one. I could care less about Taylor Swift, to be honest. But I have nothing against Taylor Swift. I just never have listened to her music. I was not part of that generation. And then, but I am an Usher generation. And I am just, like, so ready to see that halftime show. But I also, I'm looking forward to the football. I don't know if Melissa Richardson, I don't know if y'all know his name is Joe Bosa, B-O-S-A. He plays for the 49ers. And he might be the best looking football player of all time. He was in a Skims commercial the other day, like a Skims ad. And I was like, who the fuck is this man? And where has he been all my life? That's a goddess or God. All right, Melissa, what are we coaching on?
Oh gosh, this is my first time ever being coached at all. Wow. So yeah, so I'm super excited. Well, actually I take that back. We had a group accountability coaching call with Dina yesterday and it was awesome. Okay. And that kind of spurred me on to be coached by you today. So I'm trying to decide if I want to be in maintenance, even though I'm about 8 pounds above my maintenance bottom of the line low. And I feel good about, you know, my eating habits. You know, if I do have a snack during the day, it's because I'm hungry and it's 4 or 5 nuts, you know, just to get me through till the next meal or whatever. Occasionally I'll skip a meal if I don't feel like I'm hungry. I don't do that often, but I kind of like eating 3 meals a day on a regular basis. I have a lot of energy. I feel good. I don't know that 8 pounds is really going to make that much difference. I like the size that I am.
What would 8 pounds do for you?
It's probably the same answer everybody gives you, that it'll get me to my originally decided goal weight.
Okay, so it'll get you to your originally decided goal. Anything else it could do for you? I'm not arguing for you to go to 8 pounds. I just what I want to do is, you've already given me a lot of reasons to stay here. Mm-hmm. This is how I love making decisions. And my mentor taught me this. I like to think about, all right, if both options were perfect, I was only going to win no matter what I chose. And I come up with like all the ways I'm going to win on each side, then which one would I choose? So a lot of times we try to choose from like what's wrong and stuff, but I always like to like flip it like she does and say like, okay, if both options were good and I liked my reasons for both sides, then what would I be choosing?
Right. I think this is maybe why I go back and forth. I think I worry, I really like the amount of food that I eat right now. I don't think that probably losing 8 pounds is going to make me eat that much less, but then I'm like,
yeah, it's not, you're not going to have to eat much less in order to lose 8 pounds. I mean, we're talking like little things here and there.
Right. And so I mean, probably there's not enough compelling probably to go 8 more pounds. And if I had a 10 pound weight range, I'd be in it already. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but I was thinking,
so why are you not just saying,
I was thinking of,
why do you not have a 10 pound range? And just so you can just say like, and we're in it and we're good.
Maybe I should. I don't know.
But why are you
I had thought originally like a 5 pound weight range, 165, 160 to 165 is what I was thinking.
Yeah. Well, you can always change your mind.
Right. Yeah.
I like the 10. Is, like for me, it's been the easiest.
And then maybe I would feel less down on myself for where I'm at. You know, I mean, and I've come a long way.
Why are we down on ourselves for where you're at?
Because
I'm going to tell you, like, just expanding your range is not going to do that.
Right. Because I can't get to that originally decided bottom of my goal weight.
Right. But do you want, like, this is the real question you have to answer. There was a version of you who was, how much weight have you lost?
With you, 40 pounds. Okay. Besides that, probably closer to 80.
Okay. The person who weighed 80 more pounds was picking that number.
Yeah.
Okay. And she was miserable probably.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. If I had to guess, almost everybody says they love the word miserable. Yes. All right. So the 80-pound version of you with her, let's just imagine, did she have good self-esteem, low self-esteem?
Terrible.
She had terrible self-esteem. She was miserable. And she was picking a number that thought would make her what?
Get me back to where I was in high school.
Okay, so get me back to where I was
but
in high school.
Not,
so
but I still can, not like crazy ridiculous.
Right, I know, but I'm so 50. That you could feel what?
Proud of myself, healthy, off of a lot of meds, which I am off some meds.
Okay.
You know,
this is what I want to highlight. That version of you didn't realize that this weight would give you all of that. She thought it was 8 pounds lower.
Yeah. That's true.
Would she be wrong?
Yeah. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again.
Right. Because I guess if we went back and talked to her and we said, like, hey, you're fixing to lose 80 pounds, she'd be like, you're damn straight. That is exactly what's going to happen. No doubts in my mind. Thank you for letting me know that today's the day we're starting.
Yeah.
Or would she be like, you are smoking crack. I've never been able to lose weight before.
The second one. Absolutely. Yeah.
So she was wrong about a lot of things. She didn't think she could lose weight. She thought she needed to be a certain number in order to be, you know, proud. In order to whatever, she thought that her high school weight was her ideal weight. She thought a lot of things because she was miserable and scared and on meds. And now we have you who has perspective,
mm-hmm.
who's done the work, who realizes, oh my gosh, I do know how to lose weight. If I wanted to lose 8 more pounds, I could, and it wouldn't take very many changes. I just don't know if I want to change anymore. Yeah. I already feel a lot of the things that I was working towards.
Right.
There's no, here's the thing, Melissa. There's no right or wrong answer here. You could like totally lose 8 more pounds and you will not feel any more prouder. I promise you, you won't.
Yeah. And maybe I wait a while and just stick with this, you know, at weight. And who's to say in 6 months I can't decide I want to lose 8 more pounds?
You can always do that. So. And you could just chill here and just get really good at maintaining this weight and really, and like, be like, I'm going to own maintenance at this stage. I'm going to like convince myself that I never have to lose weight ever again. If I want to lose those last 8 pounds, I'll know it. It won't be because I have to. It won't be because it's going to make me a better person. I mean, right. Every now and then we lose a little bit. Like for me, like I've recently lost, recently over the last year, I gave myself over a year to get to the bottom end of my weight range. And I made little changes. I mean, I'm talking the minutest of the changes that you can make, right? And so I'm finally kind of back down to that bottom end and literally nothing's changed.
So when you say minutest changes, I guess that's where for me, I feel like I've cleaned up so much. I'm running out of minute things to come up with to change.
Tell me something you could change.
I like dessert occasionally. I mean, I try not to have it every night of the week, but one or two times a week, I'll have some dessert. If I have ice cream, I buy the little ones that are like, I don't know, 3 servings or whatever, and I'll make it be 3 or 4 servings, you know, over the course of a few weeks and, you know, eat it that way.
But tell me what you could do What you would need, tell me what you would need to do to lose the last 8 pounds. If you gave yourself a year, like me.
Probably
what's the rush? You're already happy and proud.
True. I guess it's just in my brain that there's the rush. I mean, I probably just cleaning up what I eat, you know, as far as, and this is old diet mentality, you know, more salads and less, you know, cheese and carbs and things like that. Choosing a salad over a burger.
Wait, why is a salad going to be better than carbs? What carbs are you eating?
I eat every carb, bread, potatoes, whatever,
right.
You know.
But
I
mean, you know that bread and bread and potatoes don't make you fat, right? That is
right, right. Okay, no, I know all that. Of you. I know that. Yeah.
But you said I would need to eat salads over carbs.
Right. And that's my thinking. That's my thinking that I need to clean up what
that would
I
be cleaning
eat.
It up. That would be substituting.
Yeah.
You might do a salad like for more vegetables, but I mean,
right. And I do that. And it's because
I don't think that your 8 pounds has anything to do with carbs and salads.
Okay.
None of y'all's weight has anything to do with that.
Yeah.
What does it always have to do with?
How much?
Yeah. Like when you have dessert and when you have your ice cream and stuff, are you hungry?
Not always. No.
Right. That's what you would have to clean up. So when we think about it, it's like, it's not that you can't have dessert and stuff. It would be like, well, maybe instead of eating my desserts when I'm not hungry, I need to find more joy and pleasure in my life so that isn't the joy and pleasure that I have. And when I want to have dessert, that's just my dinner.
True. Okay.
Like when what do you think happens when Corinne wants to have her Sonic Blast?
That's your meal.
That's dinner. We just go get one. Mm-hmm. I get a mini, I eat it, I go to bed.
Yeah.
I don't try to down a salad to feel better about myself or anything like that. I think having ice cream for dinner once or twice a week or whatever, no one's going to their grave on that.
Yeah. Okay. I never
those
thought
are the
about
little
it.
Changes you would have to make. It would just, it really will come back down to what it always comes down to. You want to lose the last 8 pounds, stop eating when you're not hungry.
Yeah, exactly. And I did hear MJ on one of her calls make a comment about eating cheesecake. That was her supper one night. And I thought, never thought about it that way, you know.
Well,
because
why?
I would
mean,
have
this
dinner.
Is what's so
and
funny.
Then,
some people will be like, I would never have cheesecake for dinner, but I will have a hamburger.
Yeah.
Or I'll have nachos. And it's like these arbitrary things we've picked out of the sky.
Right.
Like for some reason, having what's listed on a menu in the sandwich section, for some reason is appropriate. But if you were to start with the dessert section, not appropriate.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we eat pizza for breakfast sometimes. You know, why is that any different than eating ice cream for, you know, supper
or
whatever? Yeah.
But I mean, you just got to decide if you want to lose the 8 pounds or not. It's not going to change your life. You're already feeling what you always thought you'd wanted to feel. If you did want to lose 8 more pounds, give yourself a year.
Okay.
It would be the smallest of changes.
Okay. I will do that. I will do that.
I mean, that's like less than a pound a month.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to do it in a year, then do it in 8 months. Lose 1 pound per month.
Okay.
It's literally the smallest of changes. But if you don't want to mess with it, don't mess with it. And just be like, this is maintenance. I was wrong. That and like, there's like, literally, I just want you to think about, you just picked that number when you were in a very emotional state.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought, like all of us, that number means something. You're still hanging on to it. That number never meant anything. You've already disproved that.
Right.
You thought that number meant pride. You already are proud. You thought that number meant whatever, like you'd get off meds. No, that already happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to like hang on to it if we don't want to, but you do have to decide what maintenance is going to look like. Cause sometimes the hardest thing is to give up dieting.
And maybe that's a little bit of it too. You know, I could see that because that's all I've ever known. I mean, I maintained for 2 months back in the summer right before my daughter's wedding, but the goal was to get to the wedding, you know, and that was my why. And so it was a very clear, solid why.
Now you got to have another why. If you're going to lose that last 8 pounds, I guarantee you got to have a really good reason that's meaningful to you.
Okay.
And that could just be like, I just want to prove to myself I can do it. Mm-hmm. I want to prove to myself that I can do this in a way that's easy. Like I refuse to lose the last 8 pounds, you know, cutting out carbs again, doing anything right. like the diet mentality. The only way I'm doing it is the way that I plan to live it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is great. Thank you so much. This makes me feel so much better.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
So Julie says, letting go of dieting, I can't imagine it. Well, then you need to start imagining it. Like this is the reason why most of us can't imagine it is because the only imagination we have around it is pure nightmare. I will gain weight. I will lose control. I will just eat whatever, blah, 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 blah. You need to imagine what letting go of dieting will be like. And first of all, find your fears, but then on the other side, be like, okay, what would it actually look like? Because when you really think about it, it's not much. Like letting go of dieting just means like, I won't be obsessing all day long. I won't be micromanaging. I won't be creating too many rules for myself. What I will be doing is being mindful when I eat. Like we have to, for all of you, have to create a non-diet life. It's coming. And if you don't create it, you'll never, ever, you'll always gain just a little bit of weight just so you can stay just on the diet the entire time. But a lot of people are really good at staying just a tad overweight so they can keep dieting all the time to have that illusion of control. And don't do that to yourselves. Somebody said, did Corinne have her eyes done? You are looking fantastic. As I call up Melanie, I'll tell you what I've had done. Did not have plastic surgery. I had a laser. I've been doing this thing called the cool peel. And so it's basically they stab the fuck out of your face over and over again. This is my third treatment. Actually, my face is very swollen today. It might be why I look a little better. Because usually, like sometimes my face got a lot of flat spots in it. But I'm really swelled. I had it done on Friday. And underneath all this makeup is a fuck ton of red. And my skin is like sandpaper right now. But I don't have much eye makeup on today, but I will tell all of you, go onto Instagram and follow some of the, there's Erica, I think her name might be Erica Lopez. She's a makeup artist for women over 40. I've redone how I do my eye makeup because she talks about the lift. Like we shouldn't do it like we learned back in the day where we do all this crease shit and junk like that. If you have hooded eyes, which I do, she's been talking about how to like draw things up and do the different things. And so I've been changing that up. That might be one reason besides the swelling, the way I do. Erica Taylor is her name. Erica. All right, Melanie, let's go. Sorry.
All right. No,
I'm gonna hijacked over there and went somewhere else.
No, I'm going to look that up. I always need to stay a little bit ahead of the age game.
Your makeup looks good. Mine was starting to, like, I was like, where does my makeup go? Like my eyes just look a mess. And the first time I did her techniques, I was like, oh my God, look her up. She's hilarious too. If nothing else.
Oh, good. Fantastic. Yep. All right. Nervous. So I, have been one of those people who's had the same sort of 5 to 10 pounds gained and lost, gained and lost, gained and lost. I signed up today or raised my hand because I'm feeling a little bit stuck and I'm on the top end of my weight range and I haven't made any progress, lost anything for
3-6 months. And I've been working with Lisa, has been super helpful about being sort of more intentional about how I'm eating and making decisions ahead of time. But I find that I get very stuck, like in the moment where my habit brain is on and I don't access the part of my logical brain that should say, you're not hungry, you don't need to eat right now, or stop eating, or, you know, turn off the TV.
Can you give me a clear example when this has happened?
Sure. So, you know, in the last couple of weeks, it's been, you know, after dinner, I'll eat to enough. And then I will immediately go to the pantry and have a handful of nuts. And then I'll have another handful of nuts. Then I'll have another handful of nuts. And this pattern will keep repeating. And I've looked at different ways to delay that. Like, I like to take my dog out after dinner. So, you know, and sometimes I'll delay taking her out while I'm snacking because I've tried to, when I take her back in, go brush my teeth, put in my retainer. So, you know, I'm done eating for the day, but then I've figured out a way to cheat myself, if that makes sense.
So if you don't eat at night, what's going to happen?
Oh boy. What's going to happen? I don't know. I'll probably be really restless.
Okay. Describe to me that.
It'll be this, because, you know, part of it'll be this kind of nervous energy. You know, I work 12-hour days. I'm on call every other day, every other weekend. And I'm, you know, that's kind of, I guess I wouldn't have a way to relax, although it's not relaxing, but it is.
No, the nuts are relaxing you.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't be doing it.
Well, yeah, this is true too.
But this is what I'm find curious. I wouldn't have a way to relax. Why? If that's really what you're wanting in the evenings, what would stand in the way of you relaxing in the evenings?
This, right? All the things that I think I should be doing instead of relaxing and watching TV.
Why can't you just watch TV?
I mean, I can, but
I mean, I know you physically can.
Yeah.
Why permissively can?
Because I have books I want to read instead.
No, you don't. You are lying to me. There is no book you want to read at the end of a 12-hour day.
Okay. There are books that I want to eventually read.
Right, but not at night.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd be reading books and enjoying yourself. That would be relaxing, but it sounds like you wouldn't watch TV.
I do, but then I don't have any other time to do that stuff.
Okay, well, maybe this is not the season of life where you're going to read books.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's standing in the way of my personal and professional development, if that makes sense, because...
Wait a minute. You know what's standing in the way of your personal development?
Yeah.
Eating nuts all night long and working on losing weight.
Yes.
Could you imagine how much freedom you would have if at night you just laid there and watched television, enjoyed your life, and dropped these like however much weight you want to lose?
Yeah, 10 pounds.
Yeah, that 10. If you fixed that.
Yeah. This is true, because right now, in terms of like podcasts, I listen to all of your podcasts because, you know, I think about.
You're developing plenty.
Yeah, but I'm one of those I'm a consumer though. I'm the consumer, but not the doer. You know, I don't.
That's not true. You're on a call getting coached. You're trying to work through your urges. You're working. You said you're working with Lisa.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I don't call that a consumer, not a doer.
Okay. But I mean, I don't journal. which I think might help.
I mean, if you want a journal, journal, but I wouldn't do it at night.
I can't do it at night.
Right. Tell me what, like, all right, here's a question for you. Because I think so many women suffer from this, and I feel like I just know the answer. But I want you to tell me, all right? If there was nothing to feel ashamed of, guilty about, you weren't shooting on yourself and all this other stuff, and you could just be like, this is what I really want to be doing. Tell us your guilty pleasure that you would just be doing every night.
Yeah, I'd watch a couple hours of TV.
Oh, hell yeah. You would be with me. Me and you could snuggle up in my bed together. I watch 3 to 4 every night.
Yeah, I don't have 3 to 4 to watch because
I do.
I get, yeah, I wish I did, because, you know, by the time I get home and, you know, walk my dog and make dinner, it's late. And then I get up early. I exercise in the morning. So
you're definitely a doer. Please don't consider yourself a consumer.
Okay.
You're just right now eating nuts at night instead of losing weight.
Yeah. Or popcorn. And you're
eating nuts to not feel bad about reading books. Because if you eat nuts, you get to feel bad about that. And I guess you're going to watch some TV, or do you eat the nuts and go self-develop all night?
No, I still watch TV.
Right. Let's just do it and have fun and not eat nuts.
Oh, gosh, I guess. Oh, well,
you'll have to teach yourself. Trust me. Now, the only reason why Corinne has 3 to 4 hours a night of television, one, I work from home. There's no commutes. Yeah. I also don't have a dog. I don't walk my cats.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, very lucky in that respect.
Yeah.
You know, I pretty much finish work at 5 and I'm asleep by 9, and I just watch TV from 5 to 9.
Yeah. I get home at 7 and, or 6:30, walk my dog, start dinner at 7. So,
yeah, but you're tired.
Yeah, I am.
I just want you to think, like, I want you to logically think about this for a moment. Okay.
Yeah.
Why would you ever think that someone who works a 12-hour day has to come home, walk a dog, make dinner, would need to then start self-developing?
I think I look at other colleagues who are, say, you know, I was in academic medicine for a long time, and that was kind of the lifestyle where you know, the thought that you I'll sleep when I'm dead, or, you know, sleep is a luxury. So, you know, you did the clinical job, and then on your nights and weekends, you were writing papers or, you know, all the other things. And so even though I left academic medicine, I still haven't left that mindset.
Okay, and I'm also trying to leave the mindset. You're not even in that arena. You're not even impressing anyone. You're just,
I know, but yourself. I'm thinking about, going back and doing an MBA, and I know it's going to be a huge time commitment, and I'm worried about whether or not I can do it if now I can't even get myself to bed to be able to function normally during my days, because when I do watch TV, I have a hard time stopping, and so I end up some nights, not all, but some nights, you know, 5 hours of sleep, tired the next day, dragging. And
but that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
I think the big problem that we're running into right now, I'm all about setting some boundaries and parameters.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is right now is your body is screaming, I need rest at night. And you're saying, fuck you. We should be self-developing. And we're going to feel guilty about watching television. And so then I'm going to watch extra television because I was supposed to be feeling really good about this and I'm not. Let me go grab some nuts. Maybe that'll help. And then now I'm just beating myself up over nuts while I'm sitting here mindlessly watching television.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier to mindlessly watch TV when you're beating yourself up for not being able to lose the last 5 to 10 pounds you want to lose.
Yeah. And I do get to a point sometimes where it's late and I just feel awful. And I feel like I should just end it, go to bed. But I don't know, I just feel like I'm glued in my TV chair and I don't move and, you know, fall asleep. And I don't know.
I think it would be easier for you to leave the TV and stuff if when you went into it, you were telling yourself, this is okay.
Yeah.
Like, this is how I unwind at night. This is like, this is how I want to be spending my time.
Yeah.
I'm not in academic medicine anymore. And if I choose to go back and get, did you say your MBA?
Yeah.
If I choose to go back for my MBA, do I want to go back to my MBA and just try to keep up with everybody else? Or do I want to actually improve my life? Yeah. Real self-development is deciding who you want to be.
Yeah.
And going after it, not saying like, well, if everybody else is, you know.
No, that would be my pivot. I was listening to your last caller who had, you know, gone through med school and isn't practicing. And so, you know, I've been having, so that would be my pivot to other things. And I think I've put a lot of pressure on myself because I'm like, you know, if you can't even read a book about options outside of clinical medicine, how are you going to even get there? You know, and it's a lot of shitty self-talk about what I'm not doing.
I would bet you could get there without ever reading a book.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people, just take a guess, how many people have actually done whatever it is you're wanting to do who never researched it and just said, hey, I'm going for it.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah.
Right. So it's not like, I just want you to see your mental construct of how are you ever going to be able to do this if you can't even convince yourself to read a book?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, 1,000 other ways.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, there are different ways to do this. You know, I've been talking to another physician who did it and he, you know, gave me the book recommendations. And so, you know, I thought they would be useful.
What do you do on the weekends?
So all the kind of to-do things like, you know, grocery shopping, and I make rounds half the weekends. Some weekends I work, some weekends I operate, some weekends I don't. Sometimes I'm traveling on a weekend.
Book he gave you, is it on audio?
No, they're a little old. Yeah, no, because I will rock an audiobook. Yeah, because that's how I joined book club for audiobooks because I can do that while I'm multitasking. So yeah, I like to do that. But yeah, I mean,
if we just wanted to strategize this, if the book is that important to you, could you find 10 minutes a day, like first thing in the morning, to read, and then you put it down? And you're only going to do 10 minutes a day.
Not in the morning, probably in the evening. That has to be in the evening.
Are you 100% sure on that?
I mean, right now my mornings, I find
What are you doing in the mornings? Tell me your morning.
I wake up, take the dog out, feed her, brush my teeth, change into workout clothes, take her out again, work out, get dressed, go to work.
How long do you work out?
20 to 30 minutes.
Okay. Could you work out 20 minutes every day instead of 30 and read for 10?
I could.
Yes. Could you skip a workout and read instead 2 days a week? Work out 3?
I've worked so hard on the exercise habits.
Break the habit.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
What do you think Corinne does with workouts during the height of busy seasons in her business?
I don't know.
Don't.
Oh.
Got your face. That was amazing. I even have a trainer. I love when I like text her and say, hey, I'm just going to let you know this week I won't be working out at all. I have so much going on that this is now going to be the off week. I'm going to get all of this work done so that next week I come back stronger.
That's kind of interesting because like working out in the morning has been like the one thing I feel like I've been able to do for myself consistently for so long that I don't want to give it up. But then some mornings, like one morning, but I won't do this 2 days in a row because James Clear says never miss twice.
You got to decide if he's right. Like Melanie, this is my best advice I'm going to give to you. Stop listening to what other people are saying and that be the only way you operate.
Okay.
My colleagues they all did it this way. So now I feel like I'm supposed to do it this way. You know, James Clear, he wrote a book and it said to do this.
Yeah.
I make more money than James Clear does. He's just more famous. And Corinne misses 2 days in a row all the time.
Yeah.
Do you know what the real secret to habits is?
Yeah.
Not allowing yourself to think that because you don't do it a couple of days, that there's a problem.
Yeah. This is
always just like your reasons.
Yeah.
Like when I'm going to miss workouts, I have a really good reason. I will say this week, I really need to take the week off because I've got to be very focused on business.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get work done this week.
Yeah.
And next week I'm coming back stronger. Like, okay. I don't say like, well, you know, I've worked out for like 15 years. And you always said, if you ever missed, this is what I said in the beginning, if you ever miss a day, you'll never go back.
Yeah.
I just hope that I do it next week.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. I'm very decisive.
Okay.
Now, I don't give a shit if you cut off your workouts or not. I'm just trying to show you that if this book really is the stepping stone to a new career, you'd figure out how to read the book.
Yeah.
But right now, what I think you're saying is, I think I'm supposed to read that book and I'm using it against myself that I'm not, and I'm spending a lot of energy over there. And because I'm beating myself up for watching TV, for not reading this book, like I'm listening to all these other people, I'm spending so much time outside of my own head that now I have to eat nuts at night. Because then I would be restless. Because if I'm not eating those nuts, I'm thinking about all this shit I just told Corinne.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I guess just to kind of recap, I'm looking at making my own decisions about what's important and giving myself permission in the evening when I've worked 12 hours and I'm tired and pissed off and aggravated and all the things from work and I just am done, to just give myself that time and not feel bad about it or like I'm wasting time on, you know, not being productive, et cetera.
You know what the real waste of life is? Never giving yourself permission to do the things you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Spending your entire life telling yourself that you should be doing things that other people have said would be better.
Yeah. Or that I think have the perception of, you know, it's like you have this ideal of what
you're right. Living according to another person's agenda. That's a real waste of life.
Yeah.
Like what I would sit around and think about is like, if I wasn't living for anyone else and I was literally living for me, what would that life look like? If you were going to journal at all, this would be what I would have you journaling on. Like, what is the life I really want to create for myself? If I wasn't worried what anyone else in this world would think, I would be doing this.
Yeah.
Because that, I will say, I know this is, sounds silly because we keep talking about television, but I was kind of like you for a long time. Like and the hardest part for me is I live with someone who could literally work around the clock.
Mm.
I mean, Chris gets mad sometimes when I just like want him to hang out with me after he's already worked 14 hours. Like he'll just be like, it's almost like, you know, oh my God, you're asking so much of me. I'm like, really? Am I really asking a lot? You know, we just had to agree a long time ago, like, you know, I'm going to want to spend time with you. And I also had to agree that I was going to have to spend time by myself a lot because I was finally at a stage in my life where I was only working late at night because, one, I was trying to feel my self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't working, I felt worthless.
Yeah.
All right. And when you're working to just feel worthy, you'll never feel worthy. You'll just always be working because worthiness is what you tell yourself.
Yeah.
It's not what you do. And so I decided a long time ago that in the evenings, I did not want to be working and I did not want to be self-developing at all. That if I was going to self-develop, I had to figure out when it was going to happen in other times, because I am not someone who's going to read at night. I am not going to be learning. I give my all during the day. I have no fucks to give at night when it comes to enriching my, I can't even watch a documentary.
I know.
Yeah, no, like I there should be zero education in anything that I'm watching. And so I watch a lot of junk, like some of it's actually really good junk, but like right now we're watching, Chris and I are really bad about, like we're watching The Wire. It came out in 2002. Oh.
Yes, I watched it 4 years ago.
Yeah, well, that's us. It's just like, oh my God, we should watch The Wire. You know, I'm like, oh my God, they're still using payphones.
Yeah, I'm on The Sopranos now.
Yeah, well, that's going to be probably one of our next ones, because we never watched all The Sopranos either.
Exactly.
But I was just like, when I quit apologizing and I just started saying to myself, Corinne, you've already worked hard today.
Yeah.
Like, you deserve to take a break. This is okay. And you're socialized as a woman, I'm guessing just like me, where a lot of us are told that we, you know, like if we're ever going to have anything in life, we're going to have to work harder. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do that. So it takes a little bit of time to deconstruct that.
Yeah.
But it took many a nights sitting there watching television and reminding myself, this is okay. You're not doing anything wrong. Until now, it's like I brag about it and I'm trying to get more people to do it.
Yeah.
There is nothing that feels bad about it. But for me, it was really hard too, because I would knock off work and my husband would work 2 more hours and he's one of my employees.
Yeah. It's like a part of me is like, how does he do it? Like, how can I be like him? But then a part of me is like, but that's not who I am. And so it's like this internal struggle.
Yeah. Like, I think the difference for Chris, he's not trying to work for his worth. Chris literally just loves working.
Yeah.
And when he can be quiet and be coding, like to him, he might as well be painting.
Yeah.
Like he loves his work.
Yeah.
Always has. Yeah. And so that would be like saying you're a musician who loves playing music and saying, you know, you can't play music as much as you want. You know, he's like, it's just so different for us. I think sometimes, like for me, I need a break, because when I'm working during the day, I'm not always doing everything that I love. It's a lot of things that I don't love doing. And I will tell you, there are days when he's ready to knock off, when he has meetings all day, that's very draining for him.
Yeah.
He hates them. And on those days, I have no problems getting him to come downstairs and watch television, because he's drained. Mm-hmm. On the days when he's programming, it's like I'm having to drag him out of his office, because he's just enjoying himself.
Yeah.
And so this is not to say we can't learn to love our jobs. I love my job, but even today is my fun day. I get to just coach all day long, but I'll be tired at the end, because it's a lot to be on. I'm not going to want to go do extra work. For me, this is what comes up for me. I don't know if you can relate, but I won't necessarily want to go self-develop, but I will say, okay, Corinne, I know that you've done 5 to 6 hours of calls today, but that's not real work. You've got your team is waiting on you for this podcast, and your team is waiting on you for this copy, and they need this and that. And I'm looking at my calendar thinking, oh my God, my list is so long. I should, for me, I'll get done with these calls and I'll think I should do some work now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
100%. Because this is the fun part.
100%. 100%.
And then I have to remind myself, you've already worked today. That's different work.
Yeah.
And that work is calendared for another time.
Yeah. And you're right about worthiness. I mean, coming up, I'd always felt very insecure about how good I was. but I knew I could outwork anybody. And no matter, I wasn't the most technically skilled, wasn't the fastest, but I could outwork anyone. And so, and I've been successful, but yeah, so.
So just watch, just for the next few, I want you to try just watching some TV and just for a couple of weeks, not worrying about this book. And I want you to just be thinking about how you would be living your life on your own. But I want you to really pay attention to, when am I trying to self-develop and work to feel worthy?
Yeah.
Because that's hard. It's a hard life. And then if, like, and then kind of pay attention to, when am I just telling myself I'm okay, I am worthy?
Yeah.
Here's the reasons why. This is why I deserve to relax at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would almost bet you that nut thing will go away eventually. Because I'm not, your habit brain is taking over, but I think your habit brain is taking over because it's so worried about what you're, the assault you're going to give yourself if you don't eat the nuts. Because it's like, if she doesn't eat nuts, she's probably just going to watch television. Or, and then she'd be wasting her time because she really should be self-developing and And so it's like, you should really get some nuts. That'll be a great distraction.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of you do this. Like, when you eat the nuts, do you kind of like, do you at least beat yourself up a little bit or?
Right.
That is like replacing the, you're being lazy. You're never going to get anywhere and you're wasting your life. And everybody else is doing it better than you.
Yes. 100%.
It's a lot easier to sit there and be like, womp, womp. I need to talk to Lisa tomorrow about my nuts again.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And that question, you know, that you raised, you know, about if I had to live my life on my own terms for what I want is a question that I have been, I think I've been afraid to answer it. And it's been kind of circling, you know, as I get older,
and
no longer in that automatic go, 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 and stepping back and being like, you know, can you do this on your own terms? And part of me is like, no, you can't. But yeah.
This is what I would do. I would answer, and I love questions like that. I've just gotten really good at this because I've done it so many times.
Yeah.
It's very scary when you first doing it, but this is the agreement I've always made with myself. I'm going to dream about what it would be like. I just want to know like what my heart's desire really is.
Yeah.
And then I want to just read it. I never have to go, like, you can always keep doing it the way you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You never have to, like, we never have to go after our dreams, and we never have to even feel bad about not going after some of them. I have a lot I would really like, but I'm not at the stage in life where I'm bold enough, willing to risk it, mm-hmm. courageous, where I'm like, you know what? Maybe one day. I'm glad I know what's on my heart.
Yeah.
But it's a not now. And then sometimes I'll take a look at stuff and I will be fucking amazed at how simple it would be to just turn it on right now. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how the TV thing started, because I was talking, one day I was just crying to my coach, like, I'm missing out on my life. I have this amazing life and I don't enjoy it. And all I do is work. I mean, I just like boo fucking who the whole time. Mm-hmm. And she was like, okay, let's just take a deep breath. She's like, if you were going to like just enjoy your day, like what would happen? And I'm like, well, I would watch TV at night. And she's like, what stops you from doing that? like for me to have some of the life I really wanted, I couldn't believe how many things I told her that I actually could do, like I could start working on.
Yeah.
But I had just worked it up into my head that the story was I can't have the life I want.
Yeah.
And she said, why don't we just start with giving yourself some of the things you do want that are the easiest to give? Enjoy some more of your life and then let's see what happens. And then it was a lot easier for me to start questioning other stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Oh God, that's so helpful. Thank you. Thank you.
And keep us posted on how this goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be very curious.
Yeah.
All right.
It's great. Thank you very much.
All right. All right, everybody. I have another call that starts in 25 minutes. And the last time I coached you bitches, I was late for them. So I actually need to go to the bathroom and I got to do a couple of things before the next call starts. So that is it for this month's Legacy Call. Y'all do have a Facebook group. I would just like to take a moment to tell our Legacy members, you have a Facebook group. You also begged for it. You told us how bad you wanted it. And then when I had Coach MJ go in there and look the other day, y'all aren't even talking in it. If y'all want to let that little group sit over there and be a little ghost town and all this other stuff, feel free. We can just let it lay dormant. But there's a lot of you. And there's a Legacy Facebook group. Just visit the website. Go join it. And if y'all want to talk over there about things that you think that are, you know, super specific to Legacy members. It's available there for you for other people who've been on this journey a lot longer and who are like facing different things. Like everybody here is like questioning maintenance and all this other stuff. Y'all who do not know that we have a Legacy Facebook group, visit the website, go to community, the subgroups. We launched it when we did these, right after we started doing these calls. So you can join it, but there's a lot of you who are in there and no one's talking. So if y'all want, you can always use that group. You can always use the main group. If you prefer to be in the main group, that's fine. I do not want y'all to just hole off by yourselves, but you do have one to be able to take some of your questions, to be able to talk to each other. Sometimes just having people who are, sometimes I know it just like, whether it's true or not, it just feels better to be like, I want to go into this group and I want to talk to them because they get it. They've been here a while. And that's fine. Okay. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye.